traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So we feeling like it's going to be all right until we go to the hospital and see that it ain't all right. He got tubes in him, and it's like, when I walked in, I could just feel like he wasn't even there. And I fainted.
Dude, did they give you a mic? Oh my god.
This is not good.
Oh my god, a handheld?
It doesn't even matter. I don't really know what to say about this one. If you're a fan of George, that's enough. If you're a fan of George Janko, you may want to skip this episode, bro. He's tucked into the corner. He's got a handheld mic.
Well, let me introduce it before we hear his qualms. Welcome back to Impulsive, the number one podcast in the world. That is a fact. Why would I lie about something like that? Anyway, hit that subscribe button if you're not subscribed. We're here at VCon, still in Minneapolis, Minnesota. We've been banging out podcasts. We got Liam Payne on. We got Beeple, digital artist, one of the highest grossing artists of our generation. And today, legendary guest Snoop Dogg. He is apparently one blunt away, smoking right now. We're smoking or rolling?
Rolling.
For us.
Rolling.
He's rolling?
Yeah.
Dude, is today going to be the day where I smoke with Snoop Dogg?
Yeah, I think so. You did it with Mike Tyson, so I don't see why you don't do it with Snoop Dogg.
Did I?
Smoker. Yeah, absolutely.
I don't think I smoked with Mike Tyson.
Well, you did. So whether or not you remember it, maybe that's because you were high.
Okay, what about him?
Why'd you do that? You think I don't know how to control my own mic? I've been on the show for...
For how long?
As many episodes.
You've been out of control for years. You can't control a mic.
He said on this show.
I don't like this, because now I got to turn to my left as well. And I do want to say this.
Could you vividly paint what I'm wearing so that they know?
He's wearing black and gray. I want to say this. There's always conversation about... I wanted to bring this up about me and you bullying George.
Yeah.
Oh, this shows that that's not happening right now.
No, stop. I just want it to be well known. We're the victims.
We are.
If you go back and you watch the episodes, you will see clearly who makes all of the demeaning. It's him.
Who?
It's George.
Who are you pointing at? They can't see.
How did you end up over there?
I don't fucking know, bro. This is Snoop Dogg.
No, but
I'm going to be one day when I'm like, hey, remember we did a podcast? You're like, who are you? Okay, all right, bet. I was going to share a J with him, but by the time it passes over here, it'll kind of go out. I'll have to ask him for a lighter. And that by the time it gets over here, the podcast is over.
Why is he over here?
It's because we have 6 people on the show today. So Snoop Dogg will be joined by his son, Cordell, who we call him Champ today.
Yeah.
And then Nick Adler, his business partner. And so 6 people on one podcast. We said absolutely not. We're not doing 6 people. We want Snoop Dogg, but his son Champ and Nick are gonna add a lot of value to the podcast. So
we were supposed to do another show with Banks as well. Once again, Banks completely fucked us. He didn't show up for his show. By the way, he didn't even do his VCon speech. He told me he hadn't slept before the trip. He's very sad and very apology. I just want you to know that. I got to cover up for him a little bit.
Well, he texted me, and also he apologized. But to be honest with you, it worked out, man. I was exhausted after the Liam show.
But how? I mean, at what point do we get that fucking episode done?
Thanks.
Yeah,
we've been trying for some time now. You know, it'll happen when it's right. Yesterday was not right.
Right.
Yeah.
Should we paint a? Can you see out there to that? Can you pan to that? I just want to say you're going to hear random applause throughout the course of this episode because we're literally coinciding with Gary V is on the stage right now talking about making TikToks on the stage. So people are just going to be clapping at random times, like mid sentence the whole show. But Minneapolis, yep. Thoughts, feelings.
I've been having a great time. I think the clubs are fun. I think the food is wet. Like, I think the food is a bit more wet than your average dish. I don't know what it is. That it seems to be, like moist.
Moister, yeah.
It's moister than most areas. The water is slippery. I don't know if you guys have been... In our hotel, and don't give me that look, because in our hotel, I thought, like, the body gel, the body wash... was hard to get off, and I scrubbed my body for like 10 minutes. I realized it's the water.
Yeah,
the water is
a more slippery water. I think it's at a molecular level.
Maybe I'm glad I wasn't on this podcast.
Yeah, we suck, dude.
Okay, so off to things that you guys want to hear about. NFTs. I'm just fucking kidding. Could you pan to the dorks out there with drawings of NFTs? Please,
dude,
bro.
Stop,
please,
bro.
For the love of God.
Stop.
Security guard, if anybody comes and talks about NFTs, kill them. Immediately cut their heads
he
off.
He heard you.
He's laughing.
He heard you and agreed.
He's laughing, bro.
He's like, that's all good as long as I can get a picture with him.
No, no, it is a nerd conference. But I'm a part of it. You know, I'm a nerd. So
I get it.
How dare you?
Speaking of no nerds, our boy Caleb and Dylan were up to bat for the hottest girl in the club last night.
I saw that. So cool. That was so cool.
And both of
them. Did either of them?
No, so I got to the bottom of it. Dylan got her number and went home with her, but didn't close.
Didn't close.
I think she actually met him at a strip club and then vanished. Even say goodbye. Oh. That seems a little bit more
on brand.
On brand.
It's very on brand for you.
I will say this. It's also a lot easier for them to be cleaning up the ultra hotties, seeing as how me and Logan are bagged up now.
Oh, shut up.
Mike, you know, it makes me look really good sitting next to you. So let me just translate. It's because me and him are bagging these hoes in the fucking club. They could have our scraps because we're fucking here.
I said the opposite.
I have my beautiful Asian woman that you can whoa, see on my Instagram whoa, that whoa, sucks a lollipop. And,
whoa.
And again.
Now you've crossed
no,
the line.
No, stop. Don't. How dare you. No, yo,
just
because
she's here, I'm going to cut my mouth shut.
She's not here. She left.
Okay. Anyways. So then.
Amber Heard is trending on Twitter right now. Somehow there are still people who are taking her side.
Well, hold on
and,
a second.
And a
hold on
large...
a second. Hold on a second. One, I don't care. Two, I think Snoop D-O-double-G is about to come on.
Oh, shit.
I'm going to be honest with you. A conversation with Snoop excites me much more than Mrs. Doodoo Head.
Mrs. Doodoo Bed.
Just Mrs. Doodoo Bed. Listen, just real quick. This is what I was going to ask yesterday on the Liam show, but I didn't find an opening. Do you think the pooping on the bed was premeditated? Was she like, this is what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna shit on his bed. That'll teach him.
Never,
or was it, or crime of passion, right? He pissed her off and she's like, that's it.
I would say the latter. Like, I can't imagine that she had that planned out.
Like, that was a spontaneous decision.
Yeah, yeah.
Out of all the things I could do right now, I could take some jewelry, bash a car window in, but no. I'm gonna spice
you know
this up.
Say,
I'm gonna shit on Johnny
You know how
Depp's
they say,
bed.
Like, the truth is stranger than fiction? It's like when you plan stuff, it's never as good as when you just do something crazy, bro. You know what I'm saying?
Like, you don't think she sat down at a table, had schematics, was like a step one, squat on the bed.
No, like even before that, eat Taco Bell at 6 p.m. Like, really, like, planned it out, strategized.
I would pay all my money in the world to just be there moments before she decided to do it. Like, she's like, you know what, fucking, she's on the phone, and they're like, yeah, you just wait till you know, fuck, just, where's this bed? Just shits on it.
That's
and
it.
Imagine
all right.
Him walking in on that. Because she's probably gone. She's not at the scene of the crime.
Inexplicable. It's.
Well done.
It's one of those things, again, I'm not sure if there's any coming back from.
Would that be strike two?
George, why are you trending right now?
Me?
Wow, I'm going through some.
Oh, you know why? You know why? You know why? This is actually funny because Floyd Mayweather just fought some random guy. Not, it's like semi-random. Used to be a sparring partner. He whooped his ass, and so like again, it just. I always look back and I'm like, damn, he couldn't even beat up a YouTuber.
Did he pay you yet?
We're working on it.
I don't know if that's why you're trending.
Oh, because I look like
Tommy Innit.
Because Tommy Innit has a brand new beard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What's up, dude?
Snoop. Snoop D-O-double-G.
How you doing, bro?
Is on set.
You get your drink?
Yes, sir.
Damn.
Drink prime, baby. Hey, it's actually bomb when you're high.
We know I'm high as a motherfucker.
That's good.
That's right. That's what I like to hear. Yes.
I like the outfit.
Yes.
I like the fit.
Dr. Bomb, baby.
Dude, this is fantastic. this talk to me. Here.
I sent my first dick pic with that.
Say that one more time.
That Polaroid camera right there is the recipient of my first dick pic.
What year?
I think it was 1982.
Can I ask?
Got one, and I sent a bitch a picture of my dick on a Polaroid.
What was the method? Well, how did you send it? Via fax mail?
No, I dropped it off. I dropped it off in a third period class. She was talking shit about me, telling me, you got a little bitty one. I said, okay, no. I got something for you. Give me that Polaroid. Third period, I got your ass.
This is great. All right, let's talk about this. What's going on right now?
This shit good as a motherfucker. Is this water?
Hey.
Let's go.
That's what's up.
That's Prime, baby.
He came with the blueberry. He knew what he was doing. He ain't playing no games.
That's our best seller.
I can tell.
Target, Walmart, CVS. Kroger Vitamin Shop.
And now Snoop Dogg needs some shipped to the conference.
Let's go.
That way you could ask your
We'll get your address. We'll hook you guys up. Lifetime supply.
You want to do some intros?
Yeah, here we go. Guys, it is true. We're at VCon Minneapolis. We have Snoop D-O-double-G on the podcast right now. Got his son, Champ, next to him to his right. And to his right, to Champ's right, Nick Adler, Snoop's business partner. You guys are a team, a family, I'm sure, at this point. And we're all here. Thanks for coming on Impulsive, number one podcast in the world. That's a fact.
You better know it. We know where we at. We with the number ones, not the twos.
I appreciate you, bro. I appreciate you, dude. We go back a little bit. We have history because you've been fucking with Jake for some time.
Come on now, you know I fuck with your bro. I've been betting on him, been rocking with him. You understand me? I've been going against the grain, fucking with Jake. You hear me? Fuck y'all. I'm with my nephew.
Shout out to Jake.
Got his gloves in my GGM room right now.
No way.
Sure enough,
dude. That's so cool. When you were commentating his fight against Ben Askren. Yo, that was the best. We got to get you back commentating, man. People love it.
Come on, man. I felt like me and him was like Cosell and Ali. Like we was a tandem. We should stay together. You understand me? So, you know, let me know when y'all want to do it again. It's the shit I do.
Dude, for real. For real. You have to. He's fighting in August.
I heard.
Yeah.
I heard. I'm with him. So, you know, I'm betting on him.
Sick. He probably made you a lot of money at this point.
Boy,
huh?
I love me some Paul, brother.
Dude, you guys are all collectively very also good at making money. I can't believe how nuanced your business strategy is. Like, even just the fact that you're here.
It's Nick and Cordell.
So from what I understand, Cordell, you're the NFT crypto kind of blockchain wing of the enterprise.
Nick and Champ. It's Champ and Nick Adler running all the Snoop NFTs.
Bet. And you're killing it, dude. I saw the deal you did with Sandbox. Correct?
Oh, yeah, that's
correct. Oh, that was goodness. Nick. Nick led that one.
We got a feel for the space, and you know, when we get the right vibe, Sandbox is one of them. Gala Games, you know, crypto.com. We just keep finding the right partners and building.
It's interesting because actually that's where we thrive too. When we find the right partner, even just on this podcast, like this podcast, I bet will do numbers because when we have the right partner, right amplifier, shit goes crazy.
Right.
And you have I was going to ask you, you have a really interesting brand because, bro, you've been relevant forever. And
this sound like they sound like this.
The timing on that is always perfect. Guys, we have Snoop Dogg.
My people just won't stop. Calm down, y'all. He's trying to ask me a question. Calm down. Yo.
Oh, they got music now.
Who is it?
There's no way they just start blasting music right now.
They're playing doggy style.
Yeah.
Right now.
I'm sure it doesn't pick it up. It's just still so loud.
No, they got it.
It felt like ambiance, like we had a motherfucking rock concert.
We need that. 100%. We need that.
So look, you have been relevant forever, man. That's so hard, and you've seen it all. You're like generationally famous, and it allows you now, if you're smart enough, to make these really cool strategic business plays, right? Like the Sandbox thing was incredible. You just bought Death Row Records, which
congratulations.
I mean, I'm sure we want to get into.
Thank you.
Yeah, bro. Like, I'm proud of you. I'm glad to have you in the fam by default.
Tell Gary to turn that shit off. Tell Gary to turn that shit. We got fucking Snoop Dogg on the show right now.
It's all right. Snoop Dogg love talking over music. You know what I'm saying? That's when my voice is most affected. Nah, but on some real shit, strategically, it's all about having faith in your team.
Yeah.
You know, you can't be a boss and not have bosses around you.
Yeah.
You can't just have a bunch of workers. You got to have bosses, people that think like bosses. So that way, when it's time to make decisions, they help you make decisions. If I had a bunch of people that were just yes men around.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right.
The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
I mean, I wouldn't be shit. These guys, they challenge me, they go find different shit. They bring new and innovating ideas to the table, and I'm courageous enough to listen to them. I'm courageous enough to learn it and to figure it out. And now that we didn't figure this shit out, it's like, it's a blessing to be able to have your family and your friend that you, you know, really enjoy doing business with, yeah, you know, conquer a new venture.
And Logan, we tell him no more than we tell him yes. Like, we turning down more.
Oh, really?
We turning down more money than we make it.
Because so many people hit me and be like, hey, Snoop, I got this NFT play. I got this, that. For and I'd sure. be like, okay, let me run it past Whoop-de-wop.
Yeah, for sure.
And then they'd be like, man, that shit was worth all this money. And then they'd be like, nope, that shit ain't going to work. It ain't right.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, I got to go with them. I'm not going to go behind their back and do a deal that ain't going to work. Then I'm going to look stupid. Everything that they've told me to move on or not move on has been, you know, what it's supposed to be.
So you guys have a good intuition with the space because you've been right a lot more than you've been wrong, you know? Have you had any, like...
Oh, we've been wrong a few times. Yeah. But, you know, we don't post our losses.
Yeah.
See, that's nobody does. Our profession. Nobody. Yeah, this see, in boxing, you have to. But in this shit, your losses don't have to be, you know, glamorized. Yeah. You know, you just take your L on the chin and keep it moving.
Yeah.
Look, man, you guys have been pioneering in Web3. Like, Web3 to us, it's still so new. We're all so early, right? We fell down a bunch. Like, what I've learned the most about this crypto side is, like, you're not going to do it right.
Yeah.
And people are going to be upset. It's about their money. It's about their NFTs, about this and that. But if you just show them you're here for the long term, you show them you're here for the community, you know, it took us about 3 drops, some Twitter dialogue, some Cosimo Medici's, and before you knew it, the crowd, they changed. And now it's about, you know, keeping them elevated and lifted.
In the beginning, I was robotic. I was very robotic, meaning that I didn't know the space, so everything was told by me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You should say this shit, and I didn't know shit. But once I got involved and actually got hands-on, then I can accompany them with conversation and understanding in the community. And I learned to be a part of the community because that's just how I am. I'm hands-on, which made our relationship with the community even bigger and better.
100%.
And it was important for us to make sure he knew the space because, like, we could do our thing, but, like, when he come in on some creative shit, it's all the way elevated. And when he's in the room starting a conversation and he knows what a rug pull means, he knows, you know, decentralized, he know all these words that they saying in these meetings, it make our value more, you know, high.
For
it's
sure.
like we stronger as a team.
For sure. So is that why you're here? I mean, I'm Gary Vee's obviously a force to be reckoned with, but the fact that he got you to come to Minneapolis.
I want to go by Prince House anyway. I want to go.
Oh, I went. Hey, I did. That motherfucker.
I ain't never been. I went
before him.
Was it massive?
Man, I think it's like 100,000 square foot.
Dig, if you will, my picture. You and I engaged in a kiss.
He bad.
The sweat of your body covers me. Candy fixture.
Nah, Prince was an innovator.
Picture.
And he was, if Prince was alive right now, he'll be doing NFTs. Like,
you think so?
I know so, because like, how he moved.
If
he was
here
doing.
Now, he'd cuss all you niggas out for being in this motherfucking house.
100%.
That's what one thing's for certain and two things for sure. Get the fuck out my house.
Whenever I hear his name, I always think of the Dave Chappelle skit.
Exactly. Meet your basketball.
And he got a basketball court in his house, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, shit's so funny.
I swear to God.
How you guys feel about the current state of the, like, this dip that we're seeing right now?
I love it. I love the dip because I'm a fighter.
Yeah.
I fight better when I'm down. I fight
back
better when
wall.
I gotta come back up
it's
again.
It's the man running the show.
You know what I'm
Hello.
Saying?
Yeah,
come on, Gary. Come on, say hi. Bring your hot ass
like
on.
That.
He does this thing where he does hurdles. Watch,
he can sit on the
watch.
Wall.
He'll hurdle.
Through the bin there.
Hey,
Gary, turn the music down.
I ain't big. You can split seats with me, cuz.
Oh, you going over there?
Yeah.
Come on,
the G.
Get it in.
I've seen him hurtle so much shit this week.
How
are you? Good to see you, baby.
What's up, brother?
Good to see you, man.
This is awesome.
You know what this shit is for me? This shit is like, I never went to college and I always wanted to be in a fraternity. I always wanted to be with some cool dudes. This shit is like that moment for me.
Hell
like,
yeah.
All we need now is some fucking beer. Let's get fucking.
Hell yeah.
Get fucking wasted. Come on, man. Fuck.
Let's do some fucking keg stands.
Yeah. Just some shit I always wanted. I wanted to be in Animal House as a kid. I'm sorry.
Great film.
You're in it right
I love
now.
That movie. Dude, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Killing this event.
Thank you so much. Honestly, I want you guys to do your thing. We did our thing. By the way, this is the only thing I want to say. One, I want to say I fucking love you.
I love you. I love you. Dude, we're best friends now. That was a clickbait.
Two, thank you so much for being here. Nick. And three, for the community. I read every fucking comment of our show the other day, like in every platform. It just was very nice words. A lot of people got a lot of value. That's because of you three. So I wanted to be on. I just want to say big shout out to that, your whole community, bunch of good kids, girls, boys, different ages. Just huge shout out to all of you guys. Keep being thoughtful. Like the responses were thoughtful. They picked up on a lot of smart shit. Just a very smart little community. It's a big community, but like,
damn,
it was thoughtful. It was fucking thoughtful. Yeah. That means you guys are doing good shit. Keep going. I'm cheering for this podcast. I'm cheering for these three. I'm out. You guys should be doing
things. Look what Web3 brought to you. Web3 is bringing us all 100%. Together. It's crazy. Yep, like, this is all because of that.
Gotta love it.
Community.
Yeah, community.
Gary, have him turn the volume down.
I think that a gift. I need that.
Gary, sweet words. Can we turn it down a little bit, the music?
Oh, that?
Yeah,
they can.
Let me see what I can do. This man.
Gary motherfucking V in the house, y'all. DOGGV con. Live
fuck?
And direct. You better know it. Hello.
The Super Bowl.
Yo, so the homie Kifa was the one that brought us.
Come on, man.
Cousin Kifa.
That's my guy.
Come on, man. We connected. The West, we all together. We all we got, man. When people put the bat signal in the air and say, hey, look, we trying to get you on the podcast with my family, you ain't even got to ask twice. We'll be there. We'll do it. We'll walk down the hall. We'll bring a few blunts and we'll talk about it.
Kifa's West Coast royalty, right?
And you do know that. Man. Yeah, putting his work in, man. You know, that's one thing about us. We empower each other on the West. We love to see when somebody getting it, and we praise them, and we push them, and we give them their flowers. So shout out to my nephew Kifa for making this happen.
What you think about the current scene of L.A. hip-hop? You following Roddy and everything that's going on in L.A.? You proud of L.A. right now?
I love it. I love it. I get a chance to stand back and watch the youngsters do what they do. I mean, I did my thing with it for, you know, 20-something years as far as being the king of the West Coast. Gave the crown to Kendrick Lamar. They didn't give it to him. Actually, he took it. But I had to take it off my head and give it to him.
Yeah.
And he's been running wild with it. And the music that's been coming out from the West has been very, very good. It's international. It's not just regional. It's not local no more. It's global. So, you know, when I go across the world and I hear music from the West Coast, that makes me feel good to know that it's constantly growing and it's constantly being affected.
You get a chance to listen to Kendrick's new album?
Fucking love it.
Crazy.
Literally a piece of
masterpiece. Masterpiece, bro.
Well thought out. You know, when you take your time like that, that's what you get. You notice he don't come out every blue moon. He come out when he get ready, and he make sure he's calculated with his thought process, his visuals, his sound. Like, Kendrick is the kind of artist that is a part of the production. He's not, you can't send him a beat. You can't just send him a beat and say, I want to be on your album. He has to be in there with you, telling you how to make the music go, changing notes, where it's stopping, where it's breaking. Like, he's a part of the process, the full process.
He's a genius.
Yes, sir.
He's a genius. So you just bought Death Row. I got to tell you, Doggy Style was the first album. I'm older than these two. Doggy Style was the first album I ever bought. First album I ever bought in my whole life. And I was never right after that. Yeah. I was fucked
I'm
up.
So glad. I'm so glad you're wrong. Because see, if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Nah, but Doggy Style was the pinnacle for me too, because it was a chance for me to come up under Dr. Dre's wing and stand on my own 2 feet. And this was my first project, and I had never done it before. So it was a little bit of nerve, but it was more about, I want to be the dopest. I want to fuck everybody up, but then I want to take something from everybody that I love and instill it in my project. That's why I had a remake to Lottie Dottie on Doggy Style, because Slick Rick was a great influence to me. That's why I had old school, you know, R&B musicians like the Dramatics, and the production I chose, and just the tone of the record that was real pimping and was laid back, because that's who I was and that's the story I was telling.
LeBron put it in his top five albums the other day on on Twitter.
He put The Chronic too, and he wrote The Chronic.
Yep.
All of The Chronic.
So you were on two had two of them.
Yep.
What's it feel like to continue that many years later to get respect from people across multiple verticals, the best in the world?
I mean, that's a beautiful feeling, man, to get that respect from people who you respect. And, you know, knowing that all of the people that put in that hard work on working on those projects, all of the writers, all of the producers, and the people that was just there giving us that energy. You know, I know that feels good for all of us, not just me, but all of us, to know that somebody as great as LeBron James looks at our work as something that he could say is top five, because I look at him as top five basketball. So,
what number?
He in the top five.
He's PR trained. That was all I was trying to do. I get one answer. Just one answer.
He got two numbers in the top five, number 6 and 23. Okay. He gave me two out. We're going to give him two numbers.
So Death Row, an institution of hip-hop, you know, history, West Coast, I mean, global. Death Row, everybody knows Death Row. You just bought it back. Who owned it at the time? It went through, it changed ownership, it went from, a lot, right?
From E1 to Hasbro to Blackstone to Snoop Dogg.
What's that feel like to bring it back home?
You know what? I did so much crying and complaining about my masters, and Cordell could tell you. I used to cry like a motherfucker about my masters. Fuck that shit, I want my masters. And he used to be like, man, fuck that, Pops. All you gotta do is just do your shit over like Taylor Swift. Just redo your shit. And I'm like, I don't want to, because it's a feeling. It's like, it's something about that record. You can't redo it. And when I finally got it back, I still haven't cried. I still haven't, like, really felt the moment of I got my shit back, because I've been taking care of everybody else. I ain't been focused on Doggy Style. I've been trying to make sure that all of the people that was a part of the process, getting their shit right, making sure they getting paid, setting up shows, you know, branding the label, getting the merchandise right, getting it in different, you know, scenarios, movies, TV shows, to make it lovable, to make Death Row what it was supposed to be, friendly. You know, when you think of Death Row, you're supposed to think about great music and not getting
it's
your ass beat.
It's not the first thing I think of is not friendly.
You think about getting your ass beat. Yeah, I want to remove that, getting your ass beat. Yeah. That's up to him and his brother to do, handle that department. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. What do you think Shug thinks about it? Do you ever talk to Shug at all?
Nah, but I spoke to him maybe about a year and a half ago. We had a great conversation, but it wasn't nothing about me buying Death Row, nothing. That wasn't even in the equation. We was just getting caught up on, you know, life and, you know, how much love we got for each other and how we've outgrown the negativity or whatnot. So I think he would be proud. I think he would be happy because he knows I'm a great businessman, and then I'm also a part of the creation of Death Row. And it's not like I stole it, I bought it. So I had to go do something to create some sort of finances to actually purchase this. So with respect, you know, it's been sold many times. So to actually have it sold back to somebody that he believed in makes more sense than anything.
For sure. What's next for Death Row?
Death Row Films, Death Row Kids, G-Funk Lullabies, Death Row Merchandise.
Web 3.
Yeah, we already in the metaverse with Death Row. We the first major label to be in the metaverse. We did. How many ETHs did we do? You know the number.
We did 1,000 ETH in 1 month. Did 269 singles. Wow. And really grew a community of 5,000 people in like 30 days.
Sick. Music NFTs?
Yeah. All music NFTs.
And we have an exclusive relationship with Gala Games and Gala Music, where some of this Death Row music will be for sale. We'll be selling certain songs off of these albums that you can actually own, monetize, and do what you want to do with.
Sick, dude. I have so much love for people who do a lot. And you guys do a lot, you know. You started off your career a certain way, and then, I mean, I don't know if you've seen like the memes on Twitter, but they're saying you're on your side quest. You're doing everything.
They got shit of me, and I did a commercial in Russia, nigga, when I came out of motherfucking refrigerator. They got commercials of me in Australia where I'm promoting like the Uber Eats over there. Like,
no way.
It ain't much I don't do, dog, because I look at it like this: if it's fun, and it makes funds, let's have a little fun.
Yeah.
I'll add to that, like, his career, I think ultimately, like, there's one Snoop Dogg, but the way he's collaborated with brands has helped elevate his career. And at a time when he started doing it and when, you know, started working with him on it, he, you know, people would ask us, man, you guys do too much. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing that? And, you know, he saw that it was about getting exposure in the world. And, you know, he's like a media brand. You know, there's more than just Snoop the person. Yeah. There's Snoop the persona.
Right now, a lot of people have that. I'm chasing Shaquille O'Neal right now. Yeah.
Yep.
Shaq got so many motherfucking commercials and businesses, and this is my friend. And when I say I'm chasing him, that's for the right reasons. Yeah. Not nothing negative or hate. It's just I'm inspired by it. I love how he took his basketball career, put it on pause, and took his business hand. And you forget he was a basketball player based off of how business-minded he became.
Yep.
You know, another reinvention of Magic Johnson, you know. To take your skills outside of the basketball court and create businesses. I want to take my skills outside of the microphone, outside of the mic booth, outside of the studio, into a business. And that's what I've been able to do, and you should be able to. You should be able to do what you're great at.
Why do you think that you and Shaq have been so successful doing it, branching out, where some of your peers have not? Because you're sitting in a certain spot because of, you know, your personality, your interests, and things you're good at, where you're able to.
I think we studied. I think me and Shaq both studied. We both come from that same era of studying the great ones. Hmm. You know, we studied the ones before us, whether when it was our profession as far as sports and music, we studied the great ones and became great ones. And then once we got out of that, we studied the business great ones and we wanted to become great ones in that. And then we looked at, hold on, we have a lot of personality. Some guys don't know how to market themselves, brand themselves, or don't know how to utilize the ability of being a superstar 24/7. Like when their season is over with, their season is over with. When your season is over with, my season is just beginning.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I would say you're more out there now than I've ever seen you in my whole. I mean, he's everywhere right now. You know,
on regular TV and shit, you see me on commercials.
Corona.
Everywhere, like Bill.
You see me in it. You see me
driving around LA. Billboard.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Birds like everywhere, everywhere. And
he's selling wine in the grocery store.
Crazy. How do you set guardrails? Like in the Web3 space, it's a little easier.
In the Web3 space, I let them.
Right.
But in the traditional, that's me.
Like, what are you saying no to these days?
A little bit of money.
Yeah.
What's the craziest deal you think you've done? Anything you pop to mind?
I know one of the craziest deals I turned down. It was like $2 million to DJ. For I think it was a Michael Jordan event, and I turned it down. And I never met Michael Jordan. And
you still never met Michael?
And I want to meet him.
Well, if you don't mind me asking, why would you turn that down?
Because I was doing some other shit. I had shit to do, and I had way more customers before I get to you. No, but I never met Michael Jordan. I want to meet him, and I want to meet him on a different. I don't want to meet him on no. I'm out there DJing. I want to like. Meet him as
boss
a fan.
The boss.
Yeah, as a fan, as a boss. It's like, Mike, I love you since North Carolina. I'm a big fan of yours. I love what you do. You're one of the greatest to ever do it. Give me a couple of secrets on how you did this. Can I get a picture with you? You want to smoke a blunt? Hey, man, it's been real.
You look up to Mike a lot?
Yes. Why? How couldn't I? I'm a black man. I mean, he was...
Business, everything.
Everything. I watched him at North Carolina as a freshman do his thing and beat Georgetown. I was a Georgetown fan back then. Dog pound, Georgetown Hoyas. So he hit my team. So I had to fall in love with him because he hit my team. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Then the next year, I seen him win the player of the year. Then I seen him do his thing with the Bulls, and he hit 63 on Bird and broke his ankle and came. I'm like, this motherfucker's different. And then his first championship came through us. He had to beat the Lakers.
Yeah, yeah.
So just think about what I just told you. Yeah. He hit the Georgetown Hoyas, which was my team. He hit the Lakers, which was my team. So it's respect. You know, you earn respect through competition, I think. And you can honor that.
For
as
sure.
far as if you box somebody, you may talk shit about him, and then once y'all finish boxing, you like, this motherfucker can really
for
fight.
For sure, for sure.
Y'all end up hugging and shaking, yeah, like, you yeah, know what, you a bad motherfucker. Yeah. I respect you,
absolutely,
dog.
Absolutely, absolutely.
And that's what it was with Michael Jordan, because I'm a Magic Johnson fan. Magic is one, Jordan is two.
Well, so I was going to say, so maybe this is why you didn't answer the what number is LeBron.
Yeah, because Magic is one.
Gotcha.
Magic is one.
Yeah, I can respect
Jordan
that.
Is two.
Is Bird in your top five or no?
He in the top 10.
Okay.
Clutch, Mr. Clutch.
Man, I hate that motherfucker.
if you like,
if
Jordan,
I hate
yeah.
you, that mean I love you.
Yeah. I was gonna ask you, being such a fan and looking at Michael like that, does it ever scare you? I've met a lot of people who looked at Kobe like that, or I've met people that have looked at Pac like that. Does it ever scare you, the idea of not being able to give those flowers to someone you look up to before? Like, do you want to try to make that happen?
I'm going to make it happen because y'all podcast going to go across the whole globe and he going to see it and hear about
I think Michael Jordan actually watches this podcast.
I know he do. What up, Mike?
What up, Mike? How you doing?
Nah, but speaking to the flower thing about Kobe Bryant, and just because you brought that up, I was able to give him his flowers. I had Kobe, after he retired, come over to my compound, and I gave him a lowrider card that I had made for him. And he came and he spent time with my family and my friends, and he gave my son some great information on business and life, which I see him, you know, putting into effect now.
Sick.
So that was a treasured moment that I had him fly to come see me, and me give him his flowers and him to take the car home, and they still have the car to this day.
So cool. I gotta ask Champ, what did you talk to Kobe Bryant about?
Man, it was crazy because we talked about kids, and I didn't even have kids at the time, and like, what he told me was like, you gotta raise your daughter like, you know, she either the lion or she the gazelle, and either way you gonna love her. And like, I'm raising my daughter that same way, and she's so tough, she's so strong, like, you know, she be motivating me. She be like, "Daddy, you got this."
Yeah.
Like, you know, and that's love. And I always think about Kobe and his daughter, you know. And then also, he told me some books to read on business and just, you know, finding who I am as a person. Mm. And I implement that every day.
So cool.
But I'm just tripping off of how he was talking to him about his daughter and the way he left us.
Yeah.
You get what I mean? So it's like he knew his purpose. Mm. His purpose was to be a girl dad.
Yep.
And to translate his, you know, life into that, which inspired him, me, us, and all of us to be better fathers to our daughters.
Yep.
Wow. West Coast has had some tough losses. I mean, Kobe, Pac, Nipsey.
Mm.
Is there anyone particularly that stands out to you as kind of the hardest one of those to swallow?
I'd probably say Nipsey and Nate Dogg.
Oh, Nate Dogg too, yeah.
Yeah, just because the... It just felt like they had so much to do.
Yeah.
You know, same with Pac as well. I feel like he didn't even get a chance to finish. He died at 25.
And I'm 25, so, like, that's crazy.
That's insane, man. That's insane. When I found out that the Tupac and Biggie stuff happened, Biggie was, what, 24?
Pac 24.
25. Man, that's so young.
And I was 25.
That's
we all
that's
the, we all the same. I'm 1 year older than Biggie, but me and Pac are the same age. So, you thinking about that. Go ahead.
I'm so sorry. My mic is...
He's usually on this side.
Oh, they took your seat?
Yeah.
No, that's, by the way, working the handheld. Fuck it. I like your team effort, though. You playing team ball right now. I come off the bench. Fuck it. As long as I get in the game, coach. Fuck all that playing.
We love you, George.
Give me the ball. Give me the motherfucking ball. Y'all had the ball too long. Get a ball to Joy. Run this shit, Joy.
I had to jump in on this moment because I didn't want to bring up that situation because it was tough. But like, if we're on that subject, where were you and how did you find out when it happened?
I just flew back from New York. Actually, all of us had just flew back from New York. Suge, Pac, myself, and a couple others. They went to Vegas. I went to Warren G's because we had like a minor misunderstanding because that was at the time where I had spoke in New York about not having issues with Puffy and Biggie. Mm-hmm. And that rubbed Pac the wrong way.
Mm.
And me and him wasn't seeing eye to eye. So basically, they didn't want me to go to Vegas for them, and I didn't want to go to Vegas because the vibe wasn't right. So I went to Warren G's house, and then later, the next day, we getting paid. That's when we had pagers. We getting blown up on the pagers, 919-111, and it shook, and he telling us that him and Pac got shot and get on out to Vegas. And we get out there, and when we get with Suge, he's not telling us the severity of it. He's telling us, like, because he got shot in the head, but he's sitting up here talking to us. And he, like, yeah, he got grazed and he got...
No way.
What is this man built out of?
Well, and he had already been through it once at that point and survived the first...
No,
the,
this is, I'm talking about Suge. While we drive to Vegas to see Pac, we go to Suge's house first.
Yep.
Yeah.
So we haven't even seen Pac.
Yep.
We just talking to Suge and he got the head wrapped up and he telling us what happened and, you know, Pac gonna be all right, he gonna pull through. You know, he got shot 9 times before. He gonna be all right, and they hit me in the head. So we... feeling like it's gonna be all right until we go to the hospital and see that it ain't all right. He got tubes in him, and it's like when I walked in, I could just feel like he wasn't even there. And I fainted. Then his mother, you know, got me up and walked me in the bathroom and had a conversation with me about being strong. She was like, "My baby ain't never seen you weak. I don't want you to be weak in front of him. You go in the bathroom and fix yourself up, and you go back in here and you talk to him and you tell him how you feel. My baby loves you." Cause she knew it was a little tension, but she knew how much we loved each other. So she gave us a moment for me to say some things to him as far as how much I love him. But I knew that was gonna be my last time speaking with him.
Damn. That's so sad, man.
It kind of just goes back to what I was saying before about, you know, being able to voice yourself to people, you know, and make sure that what you have to say to them is said, because you really just never know.
Right.
That's crazy.
That was the crazy part about that, is like, that's the only relationship that I have like that, where someone left and we wasn't all right like we should have been.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's because the decision that I made to live, I wanted to live. Mm. At that particular time of our life, we made decisions on what we want to live or we want to die. Listen to our music. Listen to the music that we wrote. What was Biggie's second album called?
Ready to Die? Or what was Life Two? After Death? right?
Exactly. Yeah. What was Tupac's last album? Machiavelli.
Machiavelli.
And what is Machiavelli about?
Death.
Okay then. What was Snoop Dogg's second album? The life. Dog, the dog yeah. father about yeah, life, life, doggy land,
yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
having kids, mm-hmm. and yeah. You know, transforming yeah. into a full grown man because I had a son, his brother. Tupac didn't have no kids. Biggie, I don't know what it was, but we was writing death at the time, mm-hmm. as far as that's just what our culture was. We was
manifesting.
Fuck it, we writing. Yeah. I don't know if I'm gonna live to see him tomorrow. I wrote a song called Murder Was the Case. In July of 1993,
I remember that shit.
And I called a murder case.
You're on trial.
In August. Yeah. Listen to what I just told you.
Yeah.
I wrote a song called Murder Was the Case in July of 1993, and I called a murder case in August of 1993. And my record came out November 1993. So it looked like I wrote Murder Was the Case to the shit that happened.
And it's continued too. I mean, you saw it with Juice. You saw it with Mac Miller, like all, you know what I'm saying?
It's like a manifestation of death in art, but unfortunately, it keeps happening. Like, I stopped talking about any sort of death, anything, because things that come out of my mouth, like, happen.
They really do.
Yeah.
I'm the religious one out of the group, so I read my Bible like every day. But the one thing that sticks with me is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So when he says, let there be light, and we're made in his image, I keep telling people, I'm like, yo, if God made us in his image and he spoke things, we're all made out of vibration. Like, that is what science sees.
Yes.
So if you really want to speak into something, like, be careful what comes out of your mouth. I truly believe you can call it. You'll
speak into existence. Yes, you will. You will speak it to existence. That's the gift that God gave us. He gave us that ability to speak it into existence.
Amen.
One thing you are speaking into existence on a lighter note is, are you going to buy Twitter?
I'm just fucking with Elon Musk.
Yeah.
You know, goddamn well, I ain't gonna put up no motherfucking $1 billion, no motherfucking yeah.
voting.
But if he does buy Twitter, we get free internet on airplanes. So it's
oh, good. That's cool. Yeah. I was gonna ask y'all what y'all think about what Elon's doing with Twitter and just kind of the hoops that he's making Jack and everybody jump through, like, on that side, because, you know, he it looked like he was gonna come out just buy the thing. Then he wants proof on actives. He wants, you know, he wants to keep talking about algorithms. And every time he tweets about the algorithm, Jack jumps in and says, that's not what we're trying to do. It's right. wild to watch. What do you guys think about what he's doing?
I mean, I think he's wild. We've had a lot of encounters with him.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the first time we met Elon, we were at a party in South by Southwest that Sound Ventures, Guy O'Siri was having, and Snoop was DJing. And as he was coming off the stage, I said, can you grab Elon and bring him out? So Guy grabs Elon, we go backstage, we're hanging out, and there's a moment, you can find the photo of Snoop and Elon, and we start talking, and in that 30 seconds, man, that was the most awkward I've been with Snoop, and I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of very famous people. This was like missed signals left and right. Like, nobody was catching, right?
Is he socially awkward?
Number one in the world.
I looked at Elon, I said, Elon, what are you up to next? I swear, he looked at me, he goes, irony.
What?
Me and Snoop look at each other, oh, cool, irony, whatever. Right? And then he leaves, whatever, and I'm not kidding, the next day Snoop calls me, he's like, yo, was that Rocket Man? So he didn't even know who Elon Musk
no,
was.
No, when we no way.
That's hilarious.
So it's crazy. That's so hilarious. Now that this photo, like, whenever they go back and forth on Twitter, this photo always surfaces, but these guys both were like, you know,
I thought Cud was a robot.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people still do.
Yeah, dude.
He might be
a drone.
Like, Cud must be related to Yao Ming. When they made Yao Ming, they made him too.
but to your point on that question, no, I think, like, he's having fun. I mean, he does what he says, what he does. He says whatever on his mind.
Whatever he wants.
And he's, you know, sometimes it's great, and sometimes it's not so great.
Well,
but
this is America. You do have the freedom of speech. You can say what you want, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes.
You know, I love seeing you with Kevin Hart, man. You guys crush it together. And by the way, sitting next to a comedian that is at his level and still draw more laughter on your end, that is so hard to do, and you crush it every time.
Thank you, boss. Yeah. Well, me and Kev got a chemistry. You know, his first, you know, acting role was in Soul Plane, where we, you know.
You're the pilot.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
oh, yeah, that's right.
We comfortable together, and at the same time, it's like, comedy is something that I was always doing. I was speaking with my counselor from high school. He came to my show in San Diego, and he was like, you know, I always knew you was going to be something. I thought you would be a comedian because you were such a class clown. I'm like, yeah, I'm still a little bit funny, you know, but I try to make sure that I keep my funny in the right, you know, spot to where it's needed, like to be on the side of Kevin Hart. I try to not be funny. I try to just be me and let it be funny.
See, some of those kind of relationships make sense, but then other ones were more surprising. Snoop Dogg, Martha Stewart.
Yeah. That's like me with your auntie. What's wrong
facts.
With that?
Facts. Facts. She might that? Be my aunt.
That's what I'm saying.
Up,
what, what's wrong with your auntie having a cool, cool player that you're saying to hang out with?
Nah, everything's right. Everything's right. But like, how does that happen?
You know how that happens? How does that happen? It happens as Justin Bieber has a roast that we do on Comedy Central. Martha Stewart's sitting right here. I'm sitting right here. And I'm smoking the whole night. And she getting the secondhand smoke. And she ends up telling the best fucking jokes out of the night. We end up exchanging numbers, and somebody creates an idea for us to do a show, but it ain't nobody from my team or her team. So we get wind of it, and I'm like, well, fuck it, I'm just gonna fly to see you. So I flew out to see her, and I said, we should just put together the idea. So we created the idea, shout out to VH1. They was into it, and then Martha and Snoop's potluck show began, and then from there, we just started doing things together, whether it was, you know,
Lighters.
Branding so shit. So now sick. We got wine together. I got her a deal with 19 Crimes. She got the white wine. I got the red wine.
That's so yeah, cool. So you got Cali Red and Martha Shard. You walk into like Ralph's or Kroger's, and there they are. You know, two standees, her white wine, his red wine.
There's
they
just something together. To be said about you for sure, but both of you guys and your versatility. Like, you could, Snoop can...
Honestly,
fit
Martha,
himself
Martha
into
is
any,
Snoop.
Like, yeah, she really Martha, is. Right. Really, but see, it's a 50-50 partnership. It ain't just me. It's like, you got to understand, she handles her weight because I learn so much when I'm with her in the kitchen, etiquette-wise, and I learn so much from her business-wise because she's not vocal. So when we doing some shit, say, for example, if we shooting a commercial and we sitting there for like 2 minutes too long, I'd be like, what the fuck is going on? Let's shoot this motherfucking shot. And then she may not agree with what how I said it, but she'd be like.
But it's wild. Their business and their focus, it's the same. Like, you talk to them, they have a different way of presenting it, but they have the same goal.
Ideas, yeah. Who's done more time?
Martha,
Martha
right?
done more time
damn,
than me, cause she way more gangster than me.
They talked about that in the roast, and that's when I found out she went to prison. I was like, yeah. What?
And she didn't tell.
Yeah,
she didn't.
That's why she went to prison, cause she didn't say a word.
Damn,
she's certified.
She was in there braiding hair. She was in there with the homegirls doing tattoos and all kind of shit. She was in there living her life.
Now, her the place she did her sentence was a little lighter than most.
She told me, she like, there was some real girls in there. They taught me this and this. And like, you know, I didn't chop it up with her about life behind the wall. That was our first sit down.
That's fucking hilarious. How long was she in jail?
Shit, what, like, was it 18?
A year, more than a year.
Yeah.
Wow. She did some time,
oh,
bro.
She's a thug.
Yeah. This was, you know.
That's fantastic.
I wish y'all would say something to Martha. What? She had way more time than all you suckers.
She watches this podcast, too. So,
yeah.
Martha.
Shout out to the homegirl, Martha.
You got to get Martha on. She'll do it.
Oh, hey, we would love that. Yeah. I would have to have my mom pop in for that, for sure.
Let's get her.
That'd be sick. So what's next? Where are you going?
Can I say?
No. Well, I guess getting ready for New York for. I mean, you got obviously back on the road touring like crazy.
I can't say when I'm going tomorrow, huh?
No.
That's so motherfucking gangster.
Wait, could you say we beep it out and we won't put it in? But
no, because it's going live on Tuesday.
No, it's not going live for a minute.
Let's go live.
You know, this man's always doing something, right?
So this
that's why I'm curious. Like,
we'll double back with that one.
I may whisper in your ear when we go off air.
We don't need your help.
When I go off air, I whisper in your ear just so you know when I come back, we'll drop it over here.
I bet.
It's big.
Yeah. Got alpha.
It's motherfucking big.
Sick.
You hear me?
What's your product? What product can we do together?
This?
What's the collab?
Prime?
Oh, holy shit.
We ain't got no energy drink.
Hydration. But we might be branching into energy in the future. Yeah. In which case, that
but
could
I
be
mean,
cool.
Hydrate. I like that. See, high.
High, high, high.
Drate.
He's a marketing genius.
That's what I'm just saying. I'm high. I need to drate.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right. We got to get creative. I mean, look, the boxing is also like.
Yeah.
Like easy takeaway.
Are you going dog?
That
to
was
fight?
The night when he well, came out.
You know, dog. Babe,
I no, I know. That's
so you know, they sent me some punk motherfucker. They wanted me to fight something. I see he got his ass beat. They, Lamar Odom whipped the dog shit out of.
Oh,
him.
Oh, they wanted you to fight Aaron Carter.
I'm like, cuz I will.
Nah,
whoop
nah.
This.
You know what the fight is?
Who?
100% Big money makes all the sense in the world. Him versus Wiz.
I knew you was gonna
him
say that.
Him versus Wiz.
Hold on.
Bro.
Time out. Time out. Time out. Me versus Wiz Khalifa. Time out. Time out. First of all. That's my little homie, right? And he's way more skillful in that motherfucking
fights,
ring than me.
Fights,
let
yeah,
me tell you
yeah,
this.
Yeah.
He the reason why I started
got
going
it.
To the gym, right? And when we first started going, I was bigger than him. He's so much bigger than me, faster yeah. than me, sharper than me. I ain't fighting that nigga.
He's no a great way. Bowler. Have you ever seen him bowl?
A
great
no.
bowler fighter.
Man, you see the way that nigga kicked?
Yeah, yeah. Because his legs are 7 feet long. Yeah. Yeah.
It's fit. Shit, I don't know how to defend that shit yet. Yeah. I can get down a little bit, but nigga talking about kicking and shit? Yeah. Oh,
but
nah.
I will say the fight night, Jake's first fight with Nate, yeah. that was magic, man. When you walked in the room, it was early COVID. Everything was shut down. You couldn't move.
Oh,
we slide
yeah.
in. They put him up there. And it was you, what, Sugar Ray, Israel Adeo.
They had all the big time announcers up there.
And he's you could tell you were like, this is, I didn't expect this to happen because it wasn't planned.
Jim Gray was there
Jim
too.
Gray.
Me and Jim Gray fell in love. He became my dog after that night.
We were in the studio. We had been in the studio the night before. Got the phone call with Snoop, do this. I told him. He said, what?
Oh, that Sugar quickly?
Yeah. Walks in the
oh,
next day.
Damn.
We come in, we sit down. He gets on there. And that thing was just magic. I mean, we left that room that night. It was like the media was crazy.
Jake said because it was during COVID and there wasn't a crowd.
Yeah.
He said it was so like awkwardly quiet and the punches were so loud. Like he could hear you commentate. And you guys remember his commentary during that fight? He goes, oh, dear Lord.
No, he was the favorite part of the whole thing.
The best
thing.
Part
of
the whole thing.
That was so crazy. I think, look, if it wasn't for the everybody, you know, congrats, but it wasn't for the Jake knockout and his narration. That thing became historic.
No, I
agree.
Absolutely.
So that's part of history, baby.
Yeah, there's a lot of meat on that bone.
Dog with the paw.
For real, bro. So cool. Now you've had an illustrious career, and it's always fascinating to see what you do next and like the memes on Twitter. You know what? I growing up when you did the song with Katy Perry, California Girls.
Mm.
It's like I don't know how much you had broken into like pop before that. But California Girls fucking hit. Slams. And that's when I was young, but it was my first indicator that this guy's not afraid to like go outside.
Look how I got on that song. She reached out to me, called my peoples, right? And she was like, I want you on this song with me. Cause she was tired of hearing the Jay-Z Alicia Keys song, New York, New York. Cause she was like, this song,
really?
I hear it everywhere. We gotta make something for California. Not like hating, but just like, we gotta represent where we from, because this song is fucking amazing.
Yeah.
This shit is amazing. New York, New York, everybody's singing New York. Yeah. She's like, we need one. I'm like, all right, cool, what's happening? Where you want me to come? Meet me at the studio. I come in the studio, and she got a motherfucking dick shrine.
I'm sorry.
I can't
one
make
more
this
time.
Shit
one
up.
One more time.
A dick shrine, nigga, a black dick shrine. When I walk in the studio, I'm like, what the fuck is going on?
Was your Polaroid there by any chance? Or
no,
you made it back.
I guess she was, I don't know what it was, but it was a vibe, and I wasn't trying to get at her. She wasn't trying to get at me. It was just the motherfucker was there. I'm like, okay, I guess she just like black dicks in the studio. I don't know. Put the music on. You know, I do my thing. Whoop, 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 boom, boom. Knock it out. Love the song. So now she like the video. Cool, no problem. When we doing the video, we doing it here. I pull up to the video shoot. They like, Katie want to holler at you. She on set. No problem. I go on set. She butt naked laying on
the clouds. On the clouds. No fucking way.
I'm like, hey, Snoop. I'm like, well, goddamn. I just seen a dick shrine and you naked. I mean, I can't figure this shit. Let's get this video over with.
But you're still.
Wait, you never asked her about the dick.
I would have maybe capitalized on that a little bit. You didn't want
to. Did she like candles on it? Was she like bowing to it? Like what? Like what the fuck, man?
No,
I gotta
no,
know
just,
about this shit.
It was just sitting in the corner. That motherfucker was. It had candles around it, and it was just there, like the Mother Teresa.
Right.
Just imagine that if you go to somebody's house and you see the Mother Teresa sitting up there on the mantle, and you'd be like, you know.
Hers is just a BBC. Was up there just
like, but, like, bam.
BBC.
Like. It led to a hit record. Might be something to it.
I mean, know? Maybe that's her style.
She obviously knows what she's doing.
Plastics everywhere with lighters.
Don't try this at home, y'all.
You're still doing crossovers, too. You're working on some shit with Aoki? With Steve Aoki?
Yeah, we got a project. It's called Alpha Dogs. His name is Professor Disco, and my character is Dr. Bombay. So it's our Bored Apes on a project that we got coming out on Gala Music.
Sick, dude. Sick.
Well, it's hot.
Yeah, we definitely got to do some shit together.
Come on.
Let's do it.
Prime Hydrate is there's some meat on that.
Hydrate.
Like a cannabis infused. I don't know what it is.
I'm not in that space right now, man. Come on, man. Take me off the market.
Dude, someone's going to.
That's what I'm saying.
Someone's going. You do have a cannabis company, though.
Yeah, yeah.
What's it called?
We got Uncle Snoop's. That's my brand.
Where's it sold?
It ain't out yet. It's coming in about a month.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
You got like strains picked out and all that shit?
I got Dr. Bombay and Champ Medici. That's coming out.
They got those are the strains?
Two or three days.
Those are two of the strains?
We got the Bored Eighth strain out right now. It's called Bored Eighth.
Nice.
I love that. Oh, shit.
It actually sold out. I did a partnership with Cookies and Backpack Boys. It sold out the first week. So, you know, I used the IP of my Bored Ape.
Smart.
And put it in the front of the weed bag, and it sold out the first week.
You got one, too? You got an ape as well?
Yeah, I bought one in March 1st for 99 ETH.
Yeah, I just bought one.
I got it right before the ape coins. Smart. And all that shit, so it was
sick.
Perfect.
So you got your ape
I got
coin.
My bread right back.
Fire.
You know,
fire.
We did the collab. We've been making singles. You know, we sick, just monetizing, man, off the IP. Yeah.
We just had Sasha Banks on the show.
That's our cousin, Mercedes Bernardo.
I can't believe that shit.
Yeah,
she's our cousin. Right here. She's hello to her. Right before you guys.
She's here?
Yeah.
She's so cool, bro. She's always trending on Twitter.
She
every week. I yeah, swear to God, every I told him that. I'd be like, "Yo, she popping."
Yeah, she is.
It's in that bloodline. What you think?
She said the same thing. We said
you're doing her project, right? You're working with her on her NFTs.
I don't want to say too much, but you know, we helping her with Web3 investments.
Got it.
You know, trying to expand her portfolio.
Sick, bro. Right, well, we got the wrap up. We got
They did this shit.
Yeah, we got the. Yeah,
talk. Yeah, look at him. Let me show you. What
you got. Well, dude, we appreciate you guys coming on Impulsive, man. For real.
I know what that look mean. That means mama on her way. My mama coming. Yeah. Don't even clean up. Just leave.
Cool, Nick, Champ, Snoop, man. It's been an honor. Yeah. Pleasure. Anything? You guys want to make sure the audience keeps an eye out for? I mean, you're doing a lot. You'll fucking see him.
Right. Follow him on Instagram.
You'll fucking see him.
Shout out Kifa. Right. Shout out Kifa for making this happen, y'all. Appreciate you, Kifa.
Hey, wherever you see this Dr. Bombay logo, go get it, because it's everywhere and it's everything. It's ice cream. It's apparel. It's kids' clothes. It's everything that you could imagine. Dr. Bombay coming to a hood near you.
Big facts. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to this episode of Impulsive. We love you. We'll see you next time. Take it easy, fam. Peace.
Peace.
Traffic jams. Tailgating. Pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.